This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, boo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer, and today I am joined in the studio by two of, I think, the funniest people on the internet. They are fellow podcasters, they're content creators, if you will. Please welcome Zachariah Porter and Jonathan Carson. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm so well. I'm
Thanks for having
I'm
us.
I'm glad to have you in the studio.
We're so happy to be
I
here.
I know. I feel like Betches is such a, like, an institution, and I've been watching content from here for so long, and it's so exciting to be like in the building.
You're in the room where it happens.
Hey, the walls are pink.
You're in the stew.
Excited to be here. Thank you.
You were just telling me that you guys record like from your apartment, so you're not used to coming to like, you know, corporate HQ.
Yeah. This is like correct. Full studio, full bright lights. This is nice. This is how the other half lives.
Yeah, ours is very echoey.
But I feel like it's more like, it's like down to earth. It feels like you're like
rooted. Well, yesterday our upstairs neighbor was vacuuming and we're like, hold please, she's doing the living room.
Oh, I do record at home like half the time. So I'm in my room, I'm like sitting in front of windows and it's just like full pause for sirens. I'm like, I don't have like the internal barometer of when the microphone can hear what's happening.
Yeah.
So I'm like, sorry guys, this is probably so loud. There's just no noise in the back.
Jonathan, you always say that. I'm like, can they hear that? You're like, they can definitely hear that. I'm like, no one can hear the siren from 8 blocks away.
And then I sound like an idiot when the episode comes out. And I'm like, hold for ambulance. And nobody can hear it.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a great podcast, Camp Counselors. Tell me a little bit about that. What's the vibe? What's the thesis statement?
Do you want to give our thesis?
Yeah. Well, Jonathan and I.
In your own words, of course.
Of course, yeah.
In handwriting, please.
150 characters or less. No, so Jonathan and I are a couple. We've been together for 4 years. So we moved to New York City together from like different states. We wanted to start a podcast together. So it's a lot of riffing. It's a comedy podcast. It's Camp Counselors is the name because we wanted a central theme and we love the movie Parent Trap. There is not a single ounce of actual mention of like real nature or, I don't know, hiking.
Actually camping.
It's just it's like a whole fake reality that we've created with a lot of storytelling. And then we just do like funny news segments and what we're loving, what we're hating, who needs a bitch slap that week. We just kind of rant it all. So it's been fun.
We try to keep it lighthearted and, you know.
A positive.
Except for yesterday when we recorded, we were going at it.
Well,
the dads were fighting.
We just always remember things differently.
And isn't that weird?
It comes out on the show.
So somebody needed a bitch slap.
I think it was just the whole show was just us hitting each other on camera the entire time.
I love that the name is like not actually connected to anything. It's just like we needed something, so we came up with something, and then now it's like a cinematic universe.
It truly is.
We also have like very outgoing, sometimes loud, gay energy that's like camp counselor energy, you know?
Yeah.
And we were never actually camp counselors, so.
Yeah, but it's so funny because like the audience has responded to it in a really great way. So we have these like write-in shows on Mondays for like mini episodes, and everyone signs off with their cabin number, and people like love these like other fake counselors, and like we have the mess hall. Like it adds on, and we just make it up on the go. So half the time it doesn't even make sense with what we previously said, but like we're constantly evolving as people. Okay. I'm not responsible for the person I was 2 weeks ago. So
exactly.
Keep up everybody.
Thank you.
I love it. So obviously we talk about Bravo and Housewives and everything here. And I was thinking as I was like putting, you know, thinking about today's episode, I was like, imagine if Real Housewives were camp counselors.
Some of them, I think, could be camp counselors. Wait,
most of them would be really, really irresponsible, though.
Didn't they do? I don't think it was on. Maybe it was on Bravo. There was like a camp counselor adult show.
Yes, yes. It was called. I think it was called Camp Getaway or something. It was like the COVID year, and I remember it was only one season, probably like 8 episodes, but they were like, you know, like we have like Housewives and other like Bravo Labs and stuff on the podcast, and so they, you know, they pitch all their whatever. And they're like, we would love to get those camp counselors on the pod. I'm like, I'm like, look, it's so fun. The show is so fun. But like, schedule is crazy.
Was that Bravo?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like, that. It's like an adult summer camp though in like upstate New York. So it's like people and their friends or like their coworkers go to like
team build,
do camp.
Yeah.
But there's like drinking. People can like hook up. I guess it's like, I don't know. It's like sexy camp.
It's campy.
I'm actually getting excited about it. We have a dream one day that if the show gets big enough, we'd love to do like a retreat kind of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, I've seen that marketed on Instagram. It does well. I think it is kind of more corporate focused with the hot sex in the moonlight at night. Coworkers hooking up with each other.
I feel like you'd have to have people sign a lot of waivers. Oh, you're yeah. Like, you're like, we're not responsible for anything.
100%.
You're like, we've got like food safety training. There's like water, you know, we're on the water. Like nothing bad that happens is
rock climbing.
We cannot be rock climbing. No, but I think which like housewives do you think would be the best or worst camp counselors?
I'm watching, this is crazy. I'm watching New Jersey for the first time ever.
Oh, we love.
So we just did Melissa Gorga's podcast, which was so amazing.
On display, yes.
And I was like, oh, I need to like, we watched like the newer seasons to lead up to do the show. And I was like, well, now I want to watch the beginning because I'm going to be so honest. I didn't love the first season when I watched it years ago. I thought it was kind of a sleeper up until that last moment. So I watched season two and I'm so obsessed with it. Danielle is so wild that I want her to be a camp counselor because we need someone that's going to just bring some chaotic energy. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm currently watching season two, I'm like, I want Danielle season two as
to be a camp counselor.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Well, not everyone can just be like, kumbaya, clap, clap, right. clap. We need some levels to the counselors. So
if two campers were having a dispute, she would be like advising them to like go at it more.
Oh yeah. She would bring in the mafia. They'd be like, I'm 10. She's like, Danny, where's Danny?
She'd be like, honey, you need to hire protection first and foremost.
I'm like literally so obsessed that she showed up to the event. Because I'm watching it for the first time, so all of it's so new. I'm sure everyone knows about this. But like, she showed up with like Hell's Angels biker.
Yes.
This is so scary.
Well, and the thing about that, I love a housewife's journey. And it's not everybody has watched everything. And I feel like we meet people where they're at.
Yeah.
But also like that type of energy that was happening in like 2010 couldn't happen now. Like if you're filming a Bravo show in 2024, like the experience I feel is so different and everybody's like on social media and like, you know, it's just a little more like polished. Whereas like season two of New Jersey, Danielle's like, yeah, like there's gonna be a guy with a gun.
It's so crazy. Like, relax.
So that's my pick. Hey, I'm picking a chaotic person because I want this to have a memorable experience for the campers. And me. So, Jonathan, who do you think would be a good one?
Another chaotic person. I'd pick Sonia Morgan. I feel like that would be so crazy. Now, that's where the lawsuits would come in. People would just be falling left and right. And she's
negligence.
Literally.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that would be entertaining. She is a hoot. Did you watch the show with her and Louie?
Crappy Lake. Yeah, it's a little bit of camp energy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is in like so both, camp
both
energy.
Both senses of the word.
Yeah, but wait, what we did, because sometimes we hate when a show is over, so we actually did this for this one. We watched the entire series except for the last episode because we'll always have that last episode as like something new, you know? So we're just,
I think
God knows
if we're going to get a second season, it looked like.
I hope so.
I hope so too. I hope it did well enough for them to continue it. I thought it was hysterical.
I loved the way that they framed it where they're like, it's not just us going to this place to like do stupid shit for TV. Like we're helping the town rebuild. Like we're bringing tourism dollars in the door.
And with it's the
like
follies.
Like I love that they're Sonia and Luann are just like fully making fools of themselves in the small town in Illinois. But like there's an activism angle.
There has to be. It's a tax write-off.
If I was nearby though, and I could drive within like an hour, if I just happened to be over there, I would drive over just to see. Like,
yeah.
I'd go to the motel.
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, which I think is like 2 or 3 hours from Benton. And I'm like, I would have gone if I lived there.
What a to the folly show.
They're like, there was like a Facebook post from like the Benton town hall or whatever that was like, come see the follies.
Oh, that's so nice. Weird. That's exciting though. That's just like, nice. They probably never saw it coming. So I don't even know how they felt that happened. Oh, the producer, right. The producer.
Yeah. That's what it was. It was the producer was from there.
Yes.
I forgot about that. Right.
Yeah. They were here when they were promoting the show and they were talking about how when they had days off, they would like go to St. Louis or like
Memphis for the weekend. And I'm like, imagine just like Sonia and Luann, like on their day off, like they're just like ripping cigs outside some bar in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm like, that is, if I ran into them in the wild on their day off from shooting Crappy Lake, like that would be my like perfect encounter.
I think my dream is to have a cigarette with Luann. Like that's, yeah. I need that for my life.
I think you could make that happen for yourself.
I'm gonna 100%. We saw her.
You're both New York City girls.
I know. I just gotta hang out by her bars that she's at all the time. We just saw them though. They did that like Christmas. Was it Christmas? No, it was last year. They did like some tour where it was like a sit-down thing.
And we didn't know what we were signing up for.
Yeah, I thought it was more performance-based, but it was more just like storytelling. Yeah, it was good though.
Yeah.
I'm a big New York fan. I love New York.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
So Bethany is on tour in Australia right now. I don't know if you've heard about this.
I heard briefly.
Okay, so I saw like a TikTok review of a girl who went to this tour in Australia. And so first of all, it's like, it's called like In Conversation with Bethany. She's literally like a speaking engagement. And this girl is like, yeah, so honestly, I was not that impressed. She's like, we spent like $170 and there were like all these empty seats in front of us. And she's like, Bethany was only on stage for an hour. And she was like mad that she didn't spill more tea about Housewives than like, she's like, basically like everything I heard, I already knew from listening to her podcast. And I'm like, that sucks. But also, what did you think a Bethany Frankel speaking engagement was going to be?
Yeah.
How did she market it? Like, what was the angle there? Because you're right. She doesn't stop. Like, with the podcast, it's like, what else can she really bring to the table fresh for a live audience?
I Googled it and it literally is like, an evening with Bethany Frankel. It's like you would go to like, I don't know, the like 92nd Street Y or whatever for like some author talk. But I'm like, it's Bethany. Like, what is she going to do? Talk shit about Carol Radziwill? Like,
oh, leave Carol out of this, please. Where was Carol on the Ultimate Girls Trip? That's what I needed.
I think Carol was at home not answering her phone.
Yeah, I think so too.
Did you see that like meme, that angle? They're like, they should go visit Alex McCord in Australia for the next New York one. The fact that we're not getting that season, that was
the Morocco.
I need Alex McCord on my TV all day long, every single day. Her and Simon are the craziest cast choice I think ever in the history of the franchises. They're just like so bizarre, but so compelling. And I miss her so much. We're never going to get Morocco at this point. So
I don't think so.
I love when she's like, I am a model now, and this isn't just a hobby. This is, I'm going to do this, and I'm working, and I'm making money. That is my favorite clip.
She's like, I am working. I'm in Brooklyn. You're in high school. I'm working to make a living and support my... Yes, the way... I rewatched season one of New York, like, last year as, like, a project, and watching those episodes, like, she takes herself so seriously, but somehow in a way that, like, doesn't make me mad, because I think she really... That's her real life.
Yeah. She's so real about it.
It's not like when a housewife is like, I've decided that I'm starting a candle company and now I'm a candle entrepreneur and like, this is what I do. It's like, no, Alex was like, she was like, I happen to be on this TV show, but I'm in New York every day doing charity, going to the opera.
Her late to the opera.
Touring schools.
Do you remember when Bethany came over to her house
and it was and like her house was in like disarray? Yeah. And she's like, oh, you can't be living here like this. And she's like, what do you mean? She was living in like a healthy delusion for herself. It was just affecting
her. It wasn't that bad, but the editing was so
bad. I'm talking about just how she is as like a person is just totally a bit delusional, but it's like to herself.
Yeah, she was just a great casting choice. I love Alex McCord.
Look, New York is expensive. If you're doing like 2 years worth of renovations, you can't afford to be living somewhere else.
No, truly. Right. Alex McCord, going back to that camp counselor, she would be such a good camp counselor.
Yeah,
very mother.
She'd run that shit like the Navy.
Yeah.
She would be so into like doing the talent show.
Like, sweetie, your friendship bracelet looks like shit. You need to watch the tutorial again.
Oh, I love her.
It says water buffalo.
Yeah, it is tough with that Morocco season because I feel like it's a little bit the season that they did at Dorinda's house. There were so many like outcomes of that where it's like Tamara's coming back, Phaedra's doing another show. We're gonna see like more girls trips, and now the Morocco trip. It's like who knows what would have come of that, of like Camille being back on TV, yeah, of Alex being back on TV, Caroline Manzo, and it's just like now they're probably just all done.
Yeah, it just probably left a really bad taste in everybody's mouth, obviously. There's a lot going on with that for sure.
Yeah. We got to talk about Potomac and specifically the casting news that has come out. So Candace announced this morning in a story with People that she is leaving Real Housewives of Potomac after 6 seasons. I'm just going to read from her. As I embark on a new chapter after 6 remarkable years with the Real Housewives, I'm filled with gratitude for the enriching friendships, personal growth, and moments of introspection that have defined this journey. With a whirlwind of new opportunities and responsibilities on my plate, I've decided to take a break. How do we feel?
I'm going to miss her. So she'll probably be back.
Yeah. So like she was clear in this story with People that it's like, I'm leaving now and who knows what'll happen in the future. You'll see me again, whether it's at the Grammys or like on Bravo.
Well, honestly, hey, we love her music.
What's the song? What's the big one?
If you got a problem,
come see me about it.
So that's unironically a fantastic song. I actually really like Candace's music.
I'm gonna miss the triangle tissue. If I have a tissue, I'm folding it into a triangle and I'm putting it in the corner of my eyes. She set that standard.
It's the only way to do it. I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna miss her. I'm gonna miss the chaos. But I feel like she just really wants a family and to work on her music, is what I'm assuming this is about.
Yeah.
Or maybe to protect her husband from Giselle. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I do feel like this season, it's like, I don't know if the music is going to happen for her, like, at the next level than she is right now. It's who can say? But I feel like she wants to pursue that badly enough that it's like, you should probably, like, Housewives isn't going to help you with a music career past the point of, like, people knowing who you are because you're on Housewives.
Right.
Like, if you want to be, like, getting nominated for Grammys and having hit singles, it's like at a certain point you don't just want to be like the Housewives girl who does music.
Yeah, there has to be a separation. Potomac's been so good. I feel like this season's not the best season, but I think overall as a franchise I find it to be incredible. I think the problem is now is that we've had the same girls for so long. Mm-hmm. Don't we have like 4 original cast members?
There's 4 original cast members.
Which is crazy.
So after Candace's announcement, so that's confirmed, there was a report also this morning that Robin is not going to be back next season. It's not confirmed. It's from like a, you know, the blogs, as they would say.
Blogs?
It's from the streets. But if Robin is to not come back next season, that would be kind of like a monumental shakeup in the franchise. And it's interesting because Robin and Candace have spent all season hating each other. And so if they both leave.
Now what?
Yeah.
Now what?
Robin's been threatening to leave every season. It's like, Robin, get in or get out at this point. I can't even keep up with her.
I know.
I like Robin. I do. I'm just getting bored of everybody. Giselle, it's funny. Giselle and Karen, I feel like, just have this positioning as being like, the mothers of the show, mm-hmm, that I think if one of them were to leave, it would be truly shocking. Ashley Darby hasn't done anything for me in seasons, but her history on the show has been incredible.
Like, yeah,
she stirs the pot. She's got that wooden spoon and she's coming ready and she will stir it, whether there's drama there or not. I feel like I like that about her.
Yeah.
And I love Mia. You just were with Mia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mia was here last week. She was... She's fun. She's cute.
I like her.
She's very tall.
I like when Mia lies and they call her out about it and she's like, you're right, I lied. Like,
yes.
Or she just doesn't remember anything and she's real about it. She's like, I don't remember that.
I think it's a refreshing quality when you have somebody who like objectively is a liar, but then doesn't make it a thing. Because that is one of my least favorite traits in a housewife is when they're like, you can call me whatever you want, but I never tell a lie. You like, that's the worst thing you could say about me is that I'm a liar. And it's like, everybody lies. Like, it's okay. Everybody tells little lies here and there. And you're saying a lot of stuff on camera that you're going to forget. And it's fine. And so I think it's refreshing that Mia can be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Literally, that's how she would say it.
The problem is, like, nobody else in this cast is willing to let anything just, like, slide off their back. And so, I don't know. I mean, I think with Giselle, you're right that, like, even if she is maybe sort of the problem in some of these relationships, that I just still can't see her getting like cut from the show.
Yeah. And there definitely was this massive divide between like, I don't know, like Giselle's camp and Candace's camp. And with Candace stepping out, what's Wendy going to do? You know what I mean? And I didn't watch last week's episode, but like with NECA, like I feel like they're not.
No.
And I'm not loving NECA, to be honest. I really try to come into every new housewife and give them a fair shot. She's had the full season, unlike Anna Marie. And I just feel like she has yet to like, at least at baseline, I need to laugh. You need to be funny for me. And I can forgive a lot. She's not funny. She's just there.
She's just there.
Well, I think, I mean, honestly, Alex McCord and NECA seem like a wild comparison. But I think NECA takes herself seriously in a way that hasn't been fun to watch.
Yes.
Sort of. Mm-hmm. And then her feud with Wendy has kind of been like a non-starter in terms of like how much people seem to care. And so it's like, okay, those were kind of the two things, and neither of them really worked.
I feel like too sometimes when people like feel the need to come in hot with things to secure their spot on a show if they're new, especially like Potomac, where so many people have secured a spot for so many years, you know. So I feel like sometimes it's a little more, well, obviously.
No, it's jarring. It's like it's almost like just relax, come in a little neutral, and then you'll always find some tension on these shows.
Yeah,
you have to like make your own at the beginning.
Yeah. I think it's like to make sense in a group, especially a group that's really established like this. It's like you have to make friends before you make enemies.
Truly,
because if you just come in the first episode and like have beef with someone, it's like, wait, but I didn't. Why are you here in the first place?
Right, exactly.
It's like you your house isn't even ready. You just moved here like last week.
You know who I love this season? Cherise at the boil just doing her. It's like she needs to stop. Like she wasn't even involved in this fight.
It's
she
just, was it's that the they were wine. Fighting. It's the wine. I love her. She's fun.
Literally, they embarrassed she gets
like
her, though.
Two glasses of wine, and then like, all the girls who were actually fighting were like, "We're good. Like we're not fighting." Yeah. And she's screaming. She's like, "I'm sick of it."
Well, you could tell that because last season Cherise got invited to everything. She was on the trip. She was at all the parties. She was on the bus. Whatever. You could tell that this season she wasn't really like included in the show. So then when she did kind of get like that one last minute invite, she was like, here's my chance.
I don't know why she's off. Like they didn't bring her back fully. Cause you're right. Like last season she was basically there the entire time. I think she adds a good element.
Maybe Karen made some calls.
Yeah, Karen's
on. She's like, I don't want to see that lady.
Honestly, you could be right. I'm so curious with all of the franchises, like what ends up on the cutting room floor? Mm-hmm. You know, like if it was still DVD season, like what would be the bonus episodes that we would get?
Oh my God. Yeah, we need like a like secrets revealed, like when they do those sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're very lame, but like.
And that's always okay. Like I'm still going to watch. It's going to be on the background when I'm doing dishes. Like I'm going to be there.
Spring has sprung, and that means it is time for some spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring ones, make sure you are using Ibotta to get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you are purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, a new warm weather bedding set, or a flight for that summer getaway you've been eyeing. Other apps, they give you points that don't amount to much. But with Ibotta, you just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and you get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying by using the code MENTION when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code MENTION. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code MENTION.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So that was interesting. You mentioned Anna Marie, who has also now departed our screens as of last week. So she posted this like long statement, basically, which she's mentioned a couple other times about how, you know, she didn't get a chance to show everything she wanted to show. And she filmed all this stuff for the season that we never got to see. And so people think that she was just this, but she was so much more. And basically, I mean, like a glorified blaming the edit kind of way for how right. She was received on Housewives. And like, I get it. Like I believe her to a certain extent that it's like, yeah, I'm sure you like everybody films stuff that doesn't get shown. But then also it's like,
totally.
You were on the show for like 8 episodes and it just like, it didn't really land.
No, wait. Once again, another person for me that like just never made me laugh that just came in to like,
yeah,
to pick fights. But you know what though? I don't think she's ever going to get a chance to get recast on anything like within the Bravo universe. So if I felt that way after 8 episodes and I felt like the edit did me dirty, I would do the exact same thing. Cause I wonder what these personal things, they may have had this like great birthday party that made that like, was fun, or I would be frustrated too. So I think it's in her best interest to be honest, but she even made enemies in her career.
That's what I was going to say. She burned bridges like with the people, like the nurses and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of. So she's really like, this was not.
No, it was no. not.
In the 8.5, I can't get behind it. I can't. Oh my God. It's so awful. I would, if you ever call me 8.5 on TV, I'll cry. Like that don't was ever wild. Do that. So wild. And she's like, I'd say the same thing about him. It's like, oh God.
Yeah.
She's awkward to watch.
Well, I think that's the thing is like, I believe that there are like, that there are things that she filmed that we didn't see, but everything that we did see, it wasn't just like, oh, she got mad at Sutton and I didn't like her because of that. It was like nothing worked that we saw from her. Mm-hmm. So like if we saw 5 more things from her, we don't actually have an inclination that it was like, oh, if we had just had like a little bit more of this, then we would have loved her. It's like, no, I think the vibe was just off.
Yeah.
So 100%. True. So true.
Wait, who was she like, quote unquote, friends with that brought her in?
Kyle.
Kyle.
She's like, Anna Marie and I have known each other socially for like a minute now. And it's like, okay. I think that's the mid-season casting thing, because that's what she also talked about. She's like, I didn't audition to be on this show. I didn't send whatever. She was like, they called me halfway through the season. And 2 weeks later, there I was. And it's like, okay, like, I do think that didn't help her case, that it was like, who is this lady and why is she here halfway through the season?
Agreed.
But again, it's like, you know, we saw what we saw and
and we didn't love. But then that kind of like begs the question again is like, if you didn't audition for it and you weren't seeking out to be on it, you ended up on it, like, okay, no harm, no foul, right? But you ended up burning bridges with a lot of people and looking
right.
bad, even yeah. though, you know, there are editors, yes, but you still said and did things, you know?
Totally.
Well, and now it's like for the rest of your life, career, whatever, this is bleak. Like, are you like always going to be former housewife who's trying to like get something else going, or are you just going to kind of like recede back into the public? Because I feel like there's a thing, I noticed this a lot with like Bachelor contestants a few years ago, where there had been a time where there was this like wild like influencer economy of like every girl that went on The Bachelor would have like 200,000 followers, and it's like brand deals, opportunities, events. And now it's like nobody cares. So if you go on The Bachelor for like a week and then for the rest of your life, you're like, hey, I'm like Marissa from season 32 of The Bachelor.
Yeah, you keep it in your bio. That's what it is.
Like the little rose emoji.
Yeah.
Season, like, is that Anna Marie's 10. Life now? Or is she like, we can just like pretend that didn't happen?
Okay, good question. Where do we go from here?
If it's 8 episodes and that's the rest of her legacy, I would leave it just there. I would never, I think it's exciting. At baseline, you did the show. I would always talk about it, but I wouldn't try to keep it going with an influencer career. And it's so interesting you say that because I always think about that in the terms of Drag Race. In 2016, 2017, if you got on a show, any reality TV, like you were instantly catapulted into this like fame and people are not as willing to follow you anymore just because you made a TV show.
So well, also because the pool is so big of so many people who are just
right when there were shows. When there were like 40 girls that had been on Drag Race and everybody who watched the show remembered everyone's name.
Yep.
Whereas now it's like, oh, she went home second in season 9, I think. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's just the way that reality TV has like shifted.
Yeah,
I think she's gonna start a podcast.
Well, even I was looking up because I'm watching everybody.
She will.
What would it be about?
Clearing, wow. Clearing my throat with Anna Marie Wiley.
You're so quick. I was trying to think of a joke with the throat. That was fast. Well, I was going to say, I'm still obviously very new to Jersey, but Dina, I looked her up. Mm-hmm. Didn't she only do 2 seasons?
Yeah.
And she has 400K. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. But that was a different time then. That pipeline to just follow people you see on TV was easier. So, yeah.
And she came back for a season. She comes back in like season 6, I want to say. And I feel like that was then like peak, like Instagram housewives time where it was like everybody who watches the show is going to follow all the housewives because that's the people they watch on TV.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm like what? I'm following like third stews from below deck. Like I don't, there's simply not room on the timeline.
There isn't. I'm obsessed with the way that Dina dresses on the show in season 2.
The season, the Jersey fashion.
She's actually slaying. Like the hair, the makeup, the chunky, like, I don't know, turquoise jewelry. It's kind of what Luann thought she was doing in her earlier seasons, but like Dina was really doing it. Like it just, it's reading.
Dina was a little more like of the people. It was a little like.
Yeah, it's grounded, I guess. I don't know. I'm obsessed with it.
It wasn't like Upper East Side boutiques.
Well, I wear so many wigs in my normal content, and I'm always inspired by that accent. So I'm looking at these earlier seasons, and I'm like, this is a character study. Like,
yeah.
This is, like, true. Like, it was so funny. Like, Gia's going to a vocal coach to get rid of her accent. She's like, I don't have an accent. Coffee.
She's like, say coffee. And she's like, I don't hear the difference. Coffee.
Oh, my God. You know what just happened that was so crazy? I'm sorry. I'm talking about old episodes.
No, you're so fine.
When Danielle's daughter is modeling and she like is visibly sweating and almost throws up and faints on stage. It wasn't nerves. Her whole body like flushed.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And then we start to feel the same way when we're watching it because we just like feel so awful.
I know, but like the new seasons of just these franchises, they get so sleepy. But back then they were just so crazy.
I think that, yeah, there was this kind of like nobody quite knew what was going to happen. Yeah. Like it was, are people going to be like, you know, chasing each other in the parking lot of the fashion show. Is it going to be like you said, like armed surveillance happening behind the scenes? Yeah, right. Like there was this kind of like, we're just going to put cameras on these people and it's going to be whatever it is. And now it is very like, okay, like we have the premiere, we're going on the trip, then we have the finale. And like, it's a little more buttoned up, which is probably a good thing in
yeah, like, true. Especially for the established franchises. Like I like the way that Beverly Hills runs. It feels very like cohesive every season. Even if it's a little sleepy, I'm always locked into it. Like I know what I'm getting into with them.
Yeah.
In the last episodes though, when they like are at the party and they give the little rundown of what's going on, sometimes they do them dirty with that freeze frame. Have you noticed that?
Ding ding. Yeah. Ding ding.
Who's picking those freeze frames?
Sometimes they really do some of them dirty and I'm like, that is so messed up.
Yeah, it's like Teresa's still paying for everything in cash.
And like in the freeze frame her like eye is open and her mouth is tongue is hanging out.
Yeah, it's so like crazy. Before it like nothing was in HD, so it's just kind of like we just like hit pause on the laptop. Top, and it's like, yeah, whatever.
Literally hit pause on the laptop. Sick.
I was just listening. You guys had an episode recently where you talked about interviewing Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium. Mm. You talked about loving TLC growing up. What was your like reality TV like origin story? Maybe before Bravo was like such a big thing.
I've been obsessed with reality TV forever. I grew up on Top Model. Like, I would, like, stay home from school sick and watch every single, like, cycle on, like, the rerun channels. Real World was huge for me. All of the VH1 dating shows. Flavor of Love, Rock of Love. Even, like, what was the one they have, like, the celebrity, like?
Charm School.
Charm School, of course.
With those Sharon
Osbourne. Yeah. Yeah, and then TLC, obviously. Sister Wives is, like, actually my religion.
Okay.
I think if I had to pick one show for the rest of my life, it would be Sister Wives, which is crazy, but...
Sister Wives is, like, one of my greatest blind spots.
Is it?
I've never watched an episode. I know some of the names. I'm like, oh, what's Cody doing now? But, like...
It's a lot. It's dense. I only watch it because he is obsessed with it. I don't know if I would ever actually, like, choose to watch it, but... From the episodes you were watching, when everything was kind of like popping off.
Yeah.
It was very good, very entertaining, but that wasn't until season like 16, right?
Well, it was like my Vanderpump. Right. I don't watch Vanderpump, right? But then you have these established characters and then this big betrayal or shift so late in a show where it kind of revives it.
Yeah.
That's what I felt about Sister Wives. Mm-hmm. But you love Vanderpump and I've never been a Vanderpump person.
I loved Vanderpump, but before that I was really into Laguna Beach.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The Hills. Did you watch The Hills?
The Hills was like, I watched it later, like I think when it first came on, like we didn't, like my family didn't have cable, and so like something on MTV was like a little like hard to mm-hmm. access, but yeah. I was aware of it, and then when I finally did watch it, I'm like, it was like a drug.
Yeah. Because
this episode's, I think before it was streaming anywhere, I found like on like I don't know if it was like Daily Motion or one of those like video websites that's not YouTube.
Yeah.
Somebody had uploaded all the episodes, but they were like a tiny bit sped up.
So, oh yeah, and like mirrored.
So the episodes of The Hills would be like 16 minutes long.
So you were in and you like
so it's like, okay, I can pound out four of these in an hour. Like I'll be done by tomorrow.
Wait, did you see like the finale? Like the grand reveal at the very end?
Yeah.
That gave me such trust issues, did it not? I still talk about it. I was talking about it yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's like such a marker of like what a show can really create. It was like an actual like break the internet moment for like, mm-hmm. a lot of us who were watching, like, oh my god, so was it real or fake the whole time?
Yeah. That was the other thing, is like now of course we know that things are like edited a type of way and people go in, you know, knowing what they want their storyline to be, but back then it was just like rumors and hearsay of like, is it scripted, is
right
it,
and there wasn't like, nobody was on social media talking about it really, and nobody was, I feel like there was like a lack of public awareness of like how these shows kind of get made, whereas now people are smarter sometimes of like, okay, like obviously like the producer tells them to go talk about this, but at the time it was just like, what do you mean these 19-year-olds in fashion school are being like told what to do?
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy.
It's especially, like, no, Heidi just shows up to work every day.
She was such a bad employee. She was bad.
Oh god,
she was bad.
Like it was really it like, like trust issues, like you say, it like broke our brains a little bit of like, they're on a back lot. Was any of it real?
And the way that it was revealed during the credits, they were like, finale. Oh my god, it was goosebumps thinking about it.
Yes.
Iconic.
Yeah, crazy. It was iconic, and it was, I can't believe they decided to do that. Like, what a slay. I
know. Like, who was that? I'd love to shake his hand or her hand.
Is there like a show that you'd want to go on? Like,
oh god.
Are you into the competition shows at all?
Sometimes. So I grew up watching Survivor, like from when I was like six. And I was thinking about that because I have like friends who are watching Survivor. And I'm like, oh, wait, like I've been obsessed with like Ceri since I was like 8 years old.
So
I'm like, this is strange.
Well,
are you going to be on Survivor?
No,
oh my god, can you imagine?
I applied and they didn't take my, they didn't like accept me. So I have like a public feud with CBS right now. It's one sided. They don't even care that I'm
okay.
They don't even know about it, honestly.
I've only watched one season. We're on season two of this. I'm on my second season ever watching it.
Oh,
we relate to the game.
So good. I know everyone's gonna be like, oh, the old seasons are way better. And I'm
where
sure
are you
they are.
Start? Are you watching
current?
Yeah, oh, 40, current. I have. I've heard the new season is like a lot.
Everyone that likes the show is like, the show is so bad right now. And I'm like, but I'm so new to it. Like, I'm like, yeah.
You're like, my little show is on.
I'm waiting for Wednesday. I'm so excited.
You guys watch Traitors, right?
So good.
So did that make you like curious about Survivor? Or like, what's, Who's deciding in 2023 to start watching Survivor?
I don't even remember how we decided to watch it.
My sister was on her maternity leave and she started watching it. But I was at her house visiting and she was like, the new season airs tonight. Just watch it with us and see what you think. I need sometimes. I need someone to force me. Like, I didn't want to watch Traitors. You forced me to watch it and I was hooked. So I was like, that's how I did. I need someone to like lead a horse to water. And I will drink. That's something about me. I will drink. So.
If there's one thing about me, I'm a drink.
With this biodegradable straw.
Traitors was great, though. Traitors was such a fun watch.
You know what's funny, though, is like I watch Traitors and I'm like, Survivor, like, yes, get in there, do it. And like the Big Brother people, the challenge people, I'm like, eh. I don't know.
It's funny. I grew up on CT and Johnny Bananas, though. Like, that was, like, my childhood. So I loved seeing them on it. I didn't know the old... Did you know the old Survivor girls? Like, did you know, like... Yeah. Of course. They're, like, celebrities.
Yeah.
I'm love... Poverty, am I saying?
Parvati.
Why am I saying poverty every time?
Parvati. You and you and Kevin from Bling Empire can't fucking get it right.
Her memes are so good. Oh my God, all of
The MJ memes are so funny. Oh my God. I can't see a pair of denim without thinking about her.
the tattoo mesh shirt.
What was that? Where can I get it?
I feel like Ed Hardy maybe does that.
Totally. Yeah,
probably. Ed Hardy, yeah. For sure. But when we watched it, I didn't know, honestly, almost anybody except for Phaedra, who was on the show. I didn't watch season one. We're really like very sporadic and crazy about how we decide to watch TV, but it works out for us. But
Peppermint was my draw.
Oh, Peppermint was on. Yeah. Justice for Peppermint. Dirty.
I know.
Done dirty, but also that slip up was crazy. I was like, I can't even defend that.
Funny story, a couple years ago, I went and saw a horror movie in a theater somewhere, and Peppermint was sitting, like, right, like, down the row from me, and just hearing, like, little comments and, like, things, like, in her voice through the movie was, like, the funny, it'd be like, nah, girl! I was like, this is how I want to watch every like scary movie.
Oh my God. You're like, I'm not even watching the movie at this point. I'm just listening to Peppermint.
Yeah, I'm just like, what is Peppermint thing? Like, excuse me, ma'am. Like, did you like the movie?
We need that podcast. What does Peppermint think? I want her updates on everything.
I would do that.
That's so funny.
Who would you want to see on a future season of The Traitors? Could be somebody from Bravo or not.
Oh my God, what's her name?
Monica Garcia, I think. Yeah. Like, that's like, if they don't cast her, that would be insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Salt Lake City.
I know. But that's the thing. If they cast Monica on Traitors, you know that like 2/3 of the people in the castle would have like no idea who she is. And be like, like she's a housewife. She probably doesn't have any like strategy experience. Yeah. She's like, actually, I already made like 42 fake accounts.
I've been actually working on getting here and I've made accounts.
She's like, actually, they told me I was a traitor 6 months ago and I've been prepping this whole time.
We've had bad housewives do bad things. I don't think what she did was the worst thing we've ever seen on a franchise, but the way that they all reacted and the way that the universe reacted was crazy.
Sometimes I feel like they really gripped onto that because so many people were protecting Jen Shaw. I feel like everything still isn't out. But yeah, I feel like they, you know, were obviously affected by it, but really saw a point to be like, okay, this is what is going to make this season something.
Yeah, that's true.
Right now it's not much.
That's true.
Yeah. I think what Monica did was like pretty unhinged, but not bad in the sense of like compared to people who are like in prison for their actions.
Right.
Or even when like Carol was on that podcast last year and said that something that Bethany like knew. Remember she announced
About the tell me it's not about Tom. It's about Tom.
And like she knew that entire time, it made us believe that it was all leaked to her like by a friend, but she knew. I was like, Bethany, that's psychotic. Like that's more dangerous to me than what Monica was doing. Like that was crazy. But
she's like, actually, I came on this trip with this knowledge already in hand. And I was just waiting for the right little moment. But also production was evil and told me what to do.
I know.
At that Bethany part, she was like, I got to make a drink. Somebody get me a drink. Skinny girl.
I need the bottle.
She literally did product placement in that moment.
Yeah.
That was crazy, but kind of smart.
Yeah. Who kinda else brilliant. Do you think would be good on Traitors?
I don't know.
I feel like more of the Drag Race girls should do it.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Didn't Alyssa Edwards do a show like this at one point? And it wasn't called Traitors, but it was something else. Maybe it was the VH1 version of it.
Oh, God.
I don't know, but I've seen another Drag Race girl do another show like this. But I do agree. I think a Drag Race girl would be smart. Hey, This seems like equal opportunity. Let's get a TLC girl on there, okay? Let's get Teresa Caputo on there. I think she'd be great.
She'd be like speaking to the people who got murdered.
Oh my God.
She'd be from beyond. She'd be like, Peppermint's coming through.
Peppermint's coming through.
She'd be at breakfast. She's like, I already know who died.
Hey, that's on that show, funny. They ate good. That's one thing about them. Did. That the production showed us they were eating really good.
Mm-hmm. I love that it's so clear that it's just like some catering company is just like bringing in food every day. And it's like, ooh, like what do we have today? Like, a little like chicken wings. Like Phaedra like narrating the food every week was an underrated highlight.
We got to meet her while they were doing it. They were doing promo and I got to film something with
her. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she was so nice, so down for the joke.
She's really sweet.
So I was like, because I was nervous to meet people like that because I know they had a long press day and I don't want to. And then I'm like, here's this really stupid idea for a funny video. But she was like, totally.
So down for it, yeah. Was her team. Her team was, because you had her like take the hood off and they had to like reset her and they were all so nice. And they were like, no, it's fine. It's like,
if there's one thing they're going to do, it's reset the hair.
And they were all so great.
But the best moment was that they did lunch in the room that we were waiting in, and Cherie came in too. She was like with her. And she was like, they're not showing my gameplay.
We're like,
I'm like, girl, well, what is gameplay? It? What was the strategy?
She's going to put out an Anna Marie, like, blame it on the edits. She's like, I actually knew from.
She made it really far. She did. Shockingly far.
She did.
I know. She really like flopped her way to the top.
And sometimes you have to.
No, I love that with Phaedra though, because I think there are people where it's like, you're like, okay, so we're just going to do this really quick like video or whatever. It's going to take 30 seconds of your time. And they're like, what? We're doing a TikTok? Like, I don't know how to do a TikTok. And it's like, I don't
like. Yeah.
Yeah, just. Get with it or just pretend.
And yeah, I don't think she even got my joke because I filmed it out of order and I was like, just trust the process, please. And she just did. And it's just great to know people that are, she's huge. The huge Bravo.
Yeah. She also did, who's the one creator who does the like defending your best friend when someone calls him gay?
We were in the room with them.
We're in the background of that video.
The fact that like they did that one too, I'm like, they probably didn't have a clue what was going on.
So it was funny.
While they're doing that at the end of it, his name is Eric.
Eric,
and
yeah.
He was like, it was like the three of us who were kind of sitting together and then he was doing that video with Sheree. And he was like, does anybody have any ideas in this room that like just to shout it out? And I was like, joggers. And it got quiet. I was like, oh,
I think
shit.
It's a sore subject. I don't think it's.
I should not have said that, but I did. And I did.
Yeah. Well, the joggers thing is hard because it's like, it did just take her like 12 years to get this fashion line together.
I know, but like if she owns it and just says it in a video like that on that platform of like his fandom would love it.
Yeah.
Just to like, you know, poke fun at
the
yourself.
Video is going to go more viral.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I stand behind what I said. I think it would have worked.
When he pitched it to her, it's kind of a hard pitch to somebody who doesn't understand the bit.
Yes.
And it could be kind of taken like out of context or like,
yeah, rude. Right. You're like, am I being homophobic right now?
And she was like nervous. That.
And we were all like, all the gay people in the room, like, girl, you're good. You're good. Yeah. Just do it. It's so funny. And then thank God she did. But I think she was a little timid about it. She's like, I don't want to be
Which is under.
It is kind of a ridiculous bit. It is. It's so funny, but it does especially kind of a hard sell.
Like, I'm going to say this in front of everybody and it's going out into the ether for
on
like
a press tour.
Hundreds of thousands of people to see. No, but she killed it. She was very kind.
I have a She by Sheree trucker hat that I was like in a daze that I bought at BravoCon a couple years ago.
Oh,
and they were like, you get the BravoCon discount, so it's $35. And I'm like, amazing.
That's an artifact though. Now you'll have that forever.
I think I've worn it once and then it just kind of like sits on a shelf.
Totally. We just got the Envy hats because we went to her store before we did the podcast. Her store's great. Have you been?
I actually haven't. I don't spend a lot of time in
Ridgewood, right?
Yeah, we took it. It was a Saturday and we have a car in the city. So I was like, let's just drive up for fun.
Okay.
And it was like an hour drive from like where we live in Brooklyn. But her store's great. Her whole crew is really sweet and that whole area was nice, but we bought the trucker hat because we need an Envy trucker hat.
But it's like, you're not going to buy like a like flowy top. Like
I thought about it.
We're perusing a little bit.
It's like we spent 30 minutes in the fitting room, but we did settle on the trucker hat.
She's like, can I help you find anything? I'm like, there's not much for me here. So
well, look at the hats.
Like, we need like Envy for gay men coming.
Yes,
2025.
Please. She's so funny in the podcast. She's like, oh, you like the hat? Because Joe Gorga told me the original hat sucks. So we had to go through four rounds of hats. So I'm going to tell Joe that you like them. I'm like, thanks, Melissa.
Yeah, they're good quality.
She's such a sweetie.
I love that. Well, on that note, it's been so fun having you guys here.
Thank you
so much. Tell everyone where they can listen to your podcast.
You can listen anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We come out with new episodes every Monday and Wednesday. That's at Camp Counselors with Zachariah Porter and Jonathan Carson.
Thank you so much for having us.
You
so much.
Thank you for being here anytime. And thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer and Shannon Sassone. Editing by Shannon Sassone. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches.